Lerato, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, John. It's nice to be here.
Let's start where we started. We'll talk about some of the other stuff in the book a little bit later in the show, because there's interesting and provocative stuff as well. But this thing about small black business, you give some anecdotes, you tell some stories. What are you trying to say? Why did you feel you wanted to make the points that you did?
So I think that maybe for people who may not know anything about it, is that an excerpt was run this Sunday from the Sunday Times, this past Sunday, by the Sunday Times.
Yeah.
And they ran about 800 words of a 2,000 word chapter.
Yeah.
And so obviously when you run an extract, I used to edit Sunday Times Lifestyle for 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I understand the sort of restrictions that you have as an editor when you have to run something like this. So you lose a lot of the context.
Yes.
People thought that the chapter was called "I Don't," something about the blue-eyed guys. That is not a chapter in the book, but they basically lifted something, a sentence from the book, and then they made that the headline. Obviously, as a print journalist, I've been a print journalist for over 15 years. I understand that we are in a hard time. We have to sell newspapers. Mm. So that's how we got to where we are, which is me being here, having written this incredibly provocative book. And what I wanted to do was to say, let's be accountable so that we can fix the things that we're not getting right.
So, you know, even the points you make about the editing, and I'm working off your book, I'm holding it up in front of me, so I've read the chapter in full, and as you say, it has more detail, it has more context. But you are making a fundamental point. You say, it pains me to say this, but in South Africa, most of the reputable businesses belong to white people. Yeah, I said it. Feel free to insult me on Twitter, my militant black brothers and sisters, but you know I'm right. And I want to ask you this. Do you have an idea, if those small businesses are as unreliable as you say, do you have an idea why?
You know, for me, it's not even about the fact that the small businesses are unreliable. Mm-hmm. It is the effect that we don't have enough. We have to remember that in the world, that's how stats are made.
Yes.
We work on the law of averages. So what is the law of averages? Is that if 8 out of 10 people do X, then that's an average. If 7 out of people do X, and that's an average. And so my book, what I was essentially saying in that particular chapter, which obviously has 16 other chapters,
yes,
is that when you look at the law of averages for small businesses run by black people, the lack of urgency and professionalism is quite hectic. Do you know what I mean? And what I'm basically saying is, let's tip the scales. Let's make sure that what we're doing is, we have 3 black service providers who are not great and 7 who are. But the point, as usual in life, has been lost in the midst of everything.
Yeah. I mean, here's an interesting thing for you to consider, because I was thinking about who I've used as contractors. And we'll look at why there are these difficulties. A lot of people are talking about lack of capital, all sorts of difficulties that businesses face. I've had shocking service from white service providers, not everyone, but certainly a number. And I've generally had some very good service from black contractors. And I wonder, do we also have to face the fact that maybe they treat me differently to you?
It could be that, but I also think that the majority, you know, to be more precise, 87% of this country is black.
Yes.
Okay. So that will always be my vantage point. That's where I want to start from. Mm-hmm. I need to make that really clear. So I look at service from when I receive it as a black person and when I give it as a black person.
Yes.
Okay. So I would write it from a white vantage point, but I don't know what yours is.
I don't even know. Yes.
And I love the fact that you are sharing it with me, because I was saying to people, the only reason I'm talking to black people is because the thing around this happened because black Twitter came after me.
Mm.
So I mean, I love the fact that you're talking about that. And I think other people from other radio stations and other places have said, I've gotten terrible service from somebody white. But what I was saying is that it's not a matter of black or white, because how somebody runs their business is not dependent on the color of their race, which is why I'm saying, let's actually go back and see who are the black people that we're using, particularly as black people in this country. If we're going to say, oh my word, we don't have financial control, are we as black customers actually buying and using black service providers, and are they giving us a good service? That is really the point, more than who's better than who.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. And in fact, interestingly enough, it chimes with a conversation we had last night, Lorato. We had a guest from San Francisco, an African-American guy called Zan Alexander, who's in the country. And he was talking about responses to police violence. I know this sounds a million miles away from what you're talking about, but let me just complete the circle. And he was saying, if we are to put pressure, we should create economic pressure. And part of that economic pressure would be to buy within our own communities and make plain to white America, for which you might read white corporate South Africa, if you continue not to address certain things we think should be addressed, we're not going to give you our rands, in his case, our dollars. So I see the connection. I just want to put this on the table, just to perhaps give a more complete picture of what you're saying. You see, white people sign contracts, give invoices, and don't usually leave without finishing the job. Facts are facts. You all might be mad, my people, but you know I ain't lying. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying every black service provider is dodgy. Not at all. But sadly, the majority of our people are chancers and don't give a damn about customer service. You spoke about Twitter coming after you. Quite a lot of people on Twitter are actually for you and
that's what
with
I
you.
Love and yes. That's what I love, and I think that has happened over the past 24 hours after I've had interviews and people have heard me speak about it. Because like I said to you, John, when I started this, is that that was 800 words of an over 2,000 word chapter. So as people have heard me on the radio, they're like, oh, actually, is that what you know? Oh, yes. I get it. That's what you meant.
Yeah.
I think the bigger issue is that we just don't want to own up to the fact that we've gotten some things wrong. I've never ever said that black people can't get anything wrong. Yes, I'm just saying let's own up to it.
Yes.
So instead of switching your phone off when you, are not going to meet a deadline, call the person and say, look, listen, something happened, something came up, I can't, just own up to it, just be accountable so we can move forward.
Do you think that people don't own up to that? And I'm going to talk about people in general now. When they've always worked with very small margins and where every failure has been a terminal one. You know, if you've been in business longer and you know there's a little bit, I'll give you an example. I mean, I dealt with a service provider who installed blinds in our apartment. And at a certain point, he came to us and said, I've messed up. I took on too many jobs and I have insufficient staff. Established white businessman. And he said, and because of that, I'm not going to bill you for the rest of the work. Now, he had a bank balance and a customer book. I'm not in any way minimizing what he did and the professionalism of it, but I would suggest he did it off quite a stable base. If you're battling, isn't it incredibly hard to say anything other than I'm on my way when you're not?
I think that, so I'll make an example. I've just started editing the Afropolitan magazine, which obviously is a sort of a partnership with Kai FM.
Yes.
And I literally just started, and my normal diary and my Afropolitan diary were not matched. And I was sitting at home checking my emails leisurely and in my pajamas, let me just say, and 5 minutes before, a meeting request came up saying, Afropolitan discussion happening in 5 minutes.
Yes.
And I'm in my pajamas and I'm nowhere near the Afropolitan offices.
Yes.
What I did is picked up the phone and said, this is truly what happened. I forgot.
Yes.
But if you are consistent, then people are able to say, oh, we understand.
Yes.
And they say, and you know, I spoke with my people, said, what time will you be there? I said 10:30, and at 10:30 I was there. The good thing about being accountable and being consistent is that when you do mess up, people are most likely to pardon you.
Yes.
But when you consistently dug and dive and are dodgy,
yes,
then people don't trust you. And unfortunately, and this is an immutable fact for black people, when one of us messes up, they mess up for everybody. One of the reasons Twitter attacked me is because there's a feeling that I represent all black people and that I'm letting all black people down. And that's what the book is about, is to say, let's correct the things, because people don't only look at one, they look at the group.
086-00-00959. Join the conversation, Mkai. A lot of you are using social media, not many people calling. i.e. none, since we're talking about being accurate and precise and not beating around the bush. Opa on Facebook says, I reluctantly don't agree with the topic, but we must bear in mind that even our municipalities and departments are contributing to this state of affairs because they can't pay them on time, if not at all. And people are coming in on Twitter to make their comments. I don't know what to call this person. Honorable Macabre, they call themselves, so let me go with that. No, the playing fields are not level. There is a small margin of the SMEs are chances. Esther says, I don't think all of them, but the majority, yes. Their cell phones are always on voicemail, and they don't finish what they started. The Sejo comes with a different point of view and says, let me tune in. I want to understand the root cause of her self-hate views. Please ask your guest if she expects us, all consumers, blue eyes and brown guys, to buy her book. And we'll come to that as in a moment, because I realize that this is an issue that came up on the weekend as well. Ms. Ramafoko, to you on Twitter, says, I just had this discussion with my sister about an hour ago, exclamation mark. Yes, black businesses are a, and she reverts to block capitals, nightmare most times, double exclamation mark. I always just have to put that in, because when people are speaking, you can hear their fury, anger, passion, or whatever it is. So when it's a tweet, I just mention what typeface they're using. Norbesutu is wanting to talk to us from Deep Kloof. Hi, Norbesutu.
Hi, Ellen, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, thank you. I just want to say, when I listened to your guest there at the on radio, saying that if you are consistent and you are truthful, whoever is on the other side, they tend to forgive you. I so much agree with that. You know, I think it takes just respect for the other person to actually be able to be forthcoming and tell the truth. For example, I was expected to go to a meeting today, and yesterday my passed by, and I had to go and check the person that I was supposed to meet with. And in the middle, at 8 o'clock, I called them. I said, you know what, I'm sorry, I won't be able to meet.
Yes.
What happened? Can we please reschedule? The meeting is important to me. I apologize for that. And they were very, very, very happy that I actually did that. And I'm sorry, the customer service in black people is very poor.
All the time or sometimes?
You know, not all the time. And yes. I tell you what, I personally, when I come across someone who provides me with a good service, I thank them and appreciate it.
Okay, Nobosutu, thank you. Calling from Deep Kloof, 20 past 6. Let's go into the traffic. Here's Mvangeli with the latest from the roads on 95.9. Back in a moment. I wonder if you have a view on the mindset that perhaps doesn't demand the very, very best for your rand, however many they are.
This is why we're here, John.
Yeah.
Is because what I was saying is that hold people accountable.
Yes.
If they're black, hold them accountable. If they're white, hold them accountable. But I think people are very afraid, because if you say, if you complain about a service and you're black, you're trying to be white. It's not because you want the best service. And I think that black people are probably willing. I mean, the challenge to myself 2 years ago was to find and use 10 black service providers every month.
Yes.
Myself, from my hair to my nails to my food to my, which you think would be easy, but actually it's not. I mean, if you ask how many people have a black accountant or a black lawyer, most people don't. Maybe it's because they've been burnt like me, which I talk about. But I think that the most part of it is that thing that we talk about of holding people accountable. Let's not be scared to say, I really want to support you, Lerato Shabalala, but actually, you need to be accountable for the fact that you didn't call me at 4:30 when you said you would, and instead of explaining to me why, you switched off your phone. Just be accountable. That's all.
086-00-00-959. We're definitely not going to switch off our phones, so give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you, and this is what Nkululeko says on Twitter. The key to assisting small businesses is knowledge. Many small businesses don't know how to do the basics of a business. Pelisa is in Honeydew. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Okay, this is very interesting. I was actually talking to my husband about it this morning.
Yes.
Because we are doctors, both of us. We're black, we're doctors, we're actually specialists, anesthesiologists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're breaking into the private world, private practice. And the we are suffering. Like, okay, let me talk about myself. I have had the stereotypical thinking of black people are not going to give me the service I want, from the handyman to the painter. But eventually, I found a black painter that has been taking care of our house for years now, and he's doing a marvelous job. Then I've had a white guy install a geyser, and it burst within months, and I couldn't get hold of him.
Yes.
And then another white guy fixed it. And so it's not absolute. You can't label someone because they're black, they're this, because they're white, they're that. But then again, finding service that is, Rato was mentioning something about holding people accountable. Holding people accountable is exhausting. It is so
yes.
exhausting. You want to go back to them and say, you listen, you didn't do that, listen, you didn't do that. But you know what? Get a new, like, I always refer back to, let's say this was a surgery. This person did a surgery on me, and now I'm suffering the consequences of the surgery on my
right.
body. Would I want to go back to that surgeon, or would I want to go to a new surgeon? Because the more they touch me, the more damage they cause, and even be able to fix their mess, you know?
Belisa, thank you. Calling from Honeydew. Masintle is one of a number of people who are trying to, as Lerato said from the beginning, let's take her provocative topic. She goes, she's getting us talking and thinking, and you calling in your numbers. But let's start looking at what this is actually all about. And Masintle offers this. Some owners are overwhelmed with cash flow management, overcommitting maybe, contributing to bad service. And I'm sure that there are different explanations for different people. I want to ask you this. Whether, because this is, well, let me just express my own view and then you can respond. Do we as a country in general use language that is about not being accountable? I'll give you a specific. At the NGO where I work, nobody is allowed to say, I'm on my way. And nobody, if we are waiting for a third party or a second party, is allowed to accept that as an explanation. So if the person is coming from Pretoria, they can't say they're on their way. I will always say, call them back. Are they in Centurion? Are they in Allendale? My office is in Bramfontein. So that, to give you context, are they passing Greyston Drive? I don't mind where they are. I just want them to tell me where they are so I can decide how to use my time.
Mm.
And people will do the same thing and say, he'll be back soon.
They
don't want you to be unhappy. And it extends to even ridiculous things saying, is it a long way to the nearest garage? They say, it's not far because they think you'll be stressed. And I'm just wondering if as a country we don't like to be precise when there's unhappiness in the air, not just in business, but beyond that. Sorry, I've given a long speech, but over to you.
No, but that's exactly what the book is about. That's
yes.
why I have a chapter on the word made and the fact that we are uncomfortable with the word made because
yes.
of what it means to us.
Yes.
And so we'd rather say helper, not because it makes the helper feel better,
yes.
but because
well,
it makes us.
The job has changed.
Exactly.
Yes.
The job remains the same, but it makes us feel better because then we don't feel like we are a madam or whatever, you know, like the Sunday Times called me this past weekend. So I think that our language denotes a lot of what we believe in. And I think we are afraid of saying to people, I can't make it. Can we postpone?
Yes.
Are we canceling? You know, you'd rather say anything and say you'll be there just now, you know, variations of not now.
You yes.
know, I think it's our country, and I think it's not a black problem or a white problem. And that's why this book is not just about, and unfortunately what has happened, the focus has been on what I've said about black people. But
yes.
I say a lot of things about white people and black people
yes.
and colored people.
086-00-00959 from Didier. Where's that? Jabulani, hi.
Hello, it's in the Midval area.
Didier,
Didier.
Didier, I thought you were from France. Didier, yeah, I know Didier. Okay, welcome, Didier. Jabulani, now we know where you are. Tell us your thoughts.
All right, thank you, John.
Jabulani.
I do understand the explanation our sister is putting through, ne?
Mm-hmm.
But let's begin it this way, ne? I ran an electrical contracting business. founded by my father in 1972 until 2013. Then we finally decided, no, it's not working. All right. A client won't do enough research on the contractor he's appointing.
Yes.
Yeah? That's one. There are professional bodies, Electrical Contractors Association, RMI, and so forth. Go to those people, check for the contractors on that database.
Yes.
Then at least they will give you someone who's registered. Who will have someone else to account to in case they don't come through?
Yeah.
Now, number two is, as a black contractor, I give you a quotation, you negotiate it down.
Yes.
I will do the job at the most minimal of profit margins for me because I need the job.
Jabulani, thank you. Calling on 086-00-00959. Mutusi on SMS line asks, does Lerato expect to walk into a spaza shop and get a receipt after buying goods? Essentially, you don't hire a backside unregistered business and expect purely professional service. You get your money's worth. But Nandi says, I agree 100% that black businesses are their own worst enemies. My recent experiences with a black contractor served only one purpose, which was to perpetuate the idea that white is right or better. It's a double-edged sword because repeat business won't happen, contributing to black small business failure. Lots of stuff coming up. It's a complex debate, and I think we're making some headway with it. Let's get the very latest from the roads and find out if you're making headway in the traffic. Here's Mvangeli.
Kaya traffic.
Tusi is calling from Featherbrook. Hi.
Hi, John. Good evening.
Good evening.
I was going to say that part of what we've read on social media and so forth is that, you know, the attitude that comes through is that, you know, Lerato takes a stand almost of a holier-than-thou attitude. So, you know, she comes across as looking down on black people and black businesses, and she comes across with you know, her research, respect what that may contain, but it sounds limited. I mean, we know what research is available in terms of
what research is available other than the feedback that people are giving. And tonight we're getting mixed feedback. Some people are happy, some are not.
So there's extensive research. When you look at the NDP, National Development Plan Version 2030, it sets out some of the challenges that businesses, corporate, informal, you know, are facing, particularly black businesses. It says you have entrepreneurs who've got this, who may have the technical skill to specialize in any field, but the business acumen lacks. So in running, in being an electrician, a plumber, you would still need somebody to run your HR, to run your diary, to run your certain affairs, to give a receipt, to ensure that, you know, you follow up on some of the things that you do. So you've got a technical skill, but you cannot back it up with the business acumen. So those are some of the challenges that what we've read. I mean, that's just mainly what my issue is.
Okay, Motusi, thanks. Calling from Featherbrook. Who's next? Gunda Randberg. Hi, Gunda.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm good, thanks. My experience is that, black on black service, most of the times, is really bad. I think it's all out there for us to see. But also, I've had like a bad experience with a broker, with a business. People were white.
Yes.
And they just cancelled my insurance policy, and they didn't tell me. So I was driving for more than 2 weeks without car insurance. And when I found out, they were not accountable. They didn't tell me, they canceled my policy. So I would say, this thing, like, black or white, it happens. So, yeah, that's my comment.
Okay, thanks. You were wanting to respond while Mutusi was raising his points. Lerato, over to you.
I need to remind Mutusi again that he read 800 words of a 2,000-word chapter of a 17-chapter book. So, how I come across is we have to remember that people have to sell newspapers. This is a hard time, and I wrote an incredibly provocative book where I get every single person, including white people, colored people, gay people, So I think, you know, how I come across, you know, this weekend, an extract is going to come out where I talk about how in South Africa, if you don't sound and have a particular accent, you're not considered to be smart, and that people will listen to me just because I sound the way I sound. But that actually to penalize somebody for using the rules of their language in an effort to communicate with you in your language is unfair.